Hello, hello. I am Karen Jean-Francois, and this is the Women in Data podcast, a podcast where every other week I interview some of the most inspiring women working in data. They discuss how data is used in various industries, share their knowledge and experience in the field, and equip you with tips to help you overcome challenges on your career and feel great. Let's get straight to it. The last decade has seen an incredible acceleration in organizations going on a journey to better integrate and gain value from their data. And while data used to report into other functions, and I guess still is in a lot of places, the rise of the role of the CDO has shifted the reporting lines. And what we've seen is that we've defined new horizons for data professionals. But the challenge is massive, right? Data leaders are expected to wear so many hats, and it's actually more than one can handle. And data leaders are expected to be strategic visionaries, technical wizards, literacy champions, innovation advocates, governance, privacy people, security experts, everything. And they do all of this in very difficult environments. So in environments where there are silos, low level of data literacies in organizations, resource constraints, resistance to change, etc. So it's not surprising that sometimes they forget one key element of their role, and that's leading data people. So over the years, I've met with so many data professionals who have struggled with low clarity in their role and in their career, the lack of support when it comes to career development or in their role as well, low EQ from technical leaders who did not have the proper management training they needed to become a leader, and much more. Today, I'm joined by Anche Bustamante and Neha Wadman to discuss solutions to this issue. So in this episode, we are going to explore how data professionals can thrive when they feel like they lack the support they need at work, but also how data leaders can become more data focused. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I am so excited, but also terrified to have this conversation with you. I'm thinking this is going to be a bit controversial, but it's something that we need, and I can't wait to talk about it. Before we get into today's topic, Anshak, and I invite you to introduce yourself.
Yes, and I'm equally excited and a bit terrified. So I'm Anche Bustamante. I'm originally from Berlin, and I've been in the UK now for 4 years. I've been in the data space for about 20 years now. Always amazes me when I say those things. I'm like, wow, but it's been quite a ride. And I've just started a new role 9 weeks ago as the VP of data at Funding Circle. Very, very interesting ride. And before that, I was in basically marketplaces like Zoopla, doing data transformations. So having a lot to do with change. But to add to that, so I love data, but I also love developing people. So I'm also a trained career coach, which I added to my skill set at some point. And I hope I can say about myself, I think I'm also an advocate for women and you know, minority groups in tech to help them thrive as well.
I think the more I talk about it, the more I realize that there are some leaders that are training as career coaches and life coaches as well. And I just love this trend.
Yeah, it just makes such a big difference. It's how you attract talent as well, right? You tell them in interviews, hey, this is what you get as well. And I care about those skills. Yeah.
How about you, Neha?
So Karen, this is our second podcast.
Yes.
And, I really enjoyed the last podcast, which we did, last year. And I am very thankful for you to invite me to do another podcast with you. In terms of my experience, so I have more than 16 years of experience working in data and analytics. Data is my passion, and I would like to call myself as someone who is data-driven and likes to tell stories using data. And just as Anche said, I'm just not about data. I am also very focused on developing people who I work with. And I'm also always looking for opportunities to being developed by my leader. So this is something I always look forward to. And recently I joined JP Morgan Chase as VP in credit risk strategy team, and where I'm again looking to, you know, add value and develop people and being developed by people as a good leader. And yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing my experience and views on this topic of data and leadership.
Amazing. And yes, I do remember recording that episode with you, and I was thinking, I was scribbling like crazy. I remember thinking, I'm going to need that at some point. And it's funny that you're saying you recently joined JP Morgan. I feel like I've done so many episodes with leaders from JP Morgan recently. It is not on purpose. I just happened to come across amazing women who keep telling me they work at JP Morgan.
I mean, honestly, I've just completed a few weeks with the organization, and I can already see that there is a lot of focus on women and their development. In fact, my leader did a training a couple of weeks ago on Dare to Lead, and she was very happily sharing her learnings to me and other team members, and I felt very inspired, and it made me feel that if my leader is thinking in this direction, I have definitely landed in the right place. I was very happy. And I've always got opportunity to work with female leaders very rarely. And I'm glad that this time I'm hoping to have a similar experience I had with a female leader back in India. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah. Hopefully we will see more and more female leaders in the future. So on to today's topic, as I mentioned, things around the lack of support that data professionals experience. And we're also going to talk about the importance of career coaches, especially with you, Antia. But I would like to spend some time thinking about creating better workplaces for data professionals, and how we're going to be approaching this episode is we're going to briefly touch on some problems that we've experienced in our career. When I say we, I mean you, because you're the guest. And then come up with solutions that data professionals can use, and how you've approached things, if there is anything you wish you had done differently in these situations, and if you have any advice for data leaders who find themselves in these kind of situations as well. So, Neha, can we start with you?
Yeah, sure, Karen. So, one thing I have realized in my entire career is that your leader plays a key role in shaping your career with an organization, right? And I believe this needs to be understood by both your leader and the person who is being managed by that leader. However, I believe that the more responsibility lies with the person who is being managed, because eventually you are responsible for the success of your career, right? I mean, you have your career, but your leader has to manage careers of other people if the person is interested, right? And one more thing is that you need to understand that your boss is a very, very busy person and probably have like hundreds of emails to go through in a day and have presentations to be done for the leadership and other stuff. And then they might be running from one meeting to another meeting on a daily basis, right? And they are getting pulled in multiple directions. So as I said, your career is your responsibility and you have to take charge of it. So here are some of the things which I have done and I still do whenever I have changed any roles, which have helped me in building a strong relationship with my leader. And I did not start doing this from the very beginning. I learned this with experience. And it's just that I realized myself that I need to do these things. Otherwise, I am going to put my career in trouble. So first thing first, I have always made sure that I set up a regular time in my leader's calendar. This is specifically important for those leaders who are hard to reach. If your leader is approachable, you can reach out to them, talk to them any time of the day. It's fine. But if your leader is somebody who is really hard to reach, then you need to have a dedicated time in the leader's calendar. And if you are, number two is that if you are speaking with your leader on a more frequent basis and your leader gives you more time, good. very good. But even if you have a dedicated time in their calendar, you can always have like small talk or candid conversation and work-related discussions along with that. But if you have a dedicated 30 minutes in your leader's calendar every week, then make sure that you go to the person with a list of two or three most important items on which you need your leader's opinion, right? And there is an action attached to it so that you don't waste your time and your leader's time, because you know that person is really hard to reach. So that's second thing. And number third is my tip on personal development. I know you spoke about that as well. So I take my personal development and the personal development of my team members very seriously. And this is something, Karen, we spoke in my last podcast as well, right? So I have always followed a very structured format for these conversations, which I follow for myself and for my team members as well. Like, have a bi-monthly development discussion with your leader where you know where you want to focus on for the next few months, and share that structure with your leader in advance. That, let's say, for example, you want to make your visualization skills better. You want to be a better storyteller. You put that in your personal development plan along with the trainings and resources you have identified. Share it with your leader in advance so that when you spend time with your leader in that dedicated time window which you have allocated, you get the action back from your leader. And keep it very separate from the weekly connects you are having with your leader. Weekly connects are only dedicated for the work. But these bi-monthly development discussion or quarterly development discussions are only focused on your personal development. So these are my three tips, ending with my view again, that your career is your career. You need to take charge of it. Nobody else is going to do.
This is actually such a powerful phrase to say, because I think especially when we start our careers in data, very often what happens is we're junior. We don't really know what it is that we're doing necessarily. And we're expecting our manager or someone else to tell us exactly, this is the direction where you have to go to. But in reality, it is your own success and you have to own it. So it doesn't mean that you have to do it yourself. And as you said, your leader plays a key role in that, but you need to find a way to own it while getting support from your leader. Andre, did you have anything to say on that?
Yeah, I'd love that. I literally hold myself back to say, this is one of those things that I, when someone asked me, what would I have wanted to know 20 years ago? I wish someone would have said those words to me and said, the only person that cares about your career is you, like, as much about your career, right? Like, that's you. If you don't care, you can't expect anybody else to take it in their own hands. I think it's have that plan. And but I will also say, you need, I think good leadership, it has that interest as well, and you have that muscle to I call it, because I think it continuously grows. Like, you never stop learning as a leader as well. So you're always, I think Simon Sinek says, you're always a student of leadership. I love that. Because it never stops. But my tip, the things that I'm doing is more, and I've just been interviewing as well, the things I look out for, I would say, ask those questions in interviews, like, what are your leadership values? What kind of leader are you? We don't talk about that enough anyway. It's a very big indicator if someone, rattles off on the, oh, I want to be this technology leader and I'm this amazing whatever. And now I do all the reports and you're like, okay. But don't hear the word empty or, okay, I'm out of here. Be aware what your red line is as well. What are behaviors you don't want to see when you interview? So I think things like passion, humility. One of mine is, for instance, system thinking, which is, giving transparent information to my team. There's as much as they need to know to make decisions themselves, to empower them as well, and not be this. By the way, I'm not a massive fan of the word managing, because we're all adults. I'm like leading that team. So I must say I have a bit of an, and I think it doesn't empower people as well, but that's a different podcast. So I think it's about, ask them what are their leadership values, and figure out for yourself as well, what are the things you want to hear. And then the next one is to understand, how does that person train that muscle? What do they do to not be stuck. Oh yeah, I've been in the business for 30 years. I don't need to be anymore, right? Like I'm sure we've seen it. And if there's, you know, if there's things coming up, like, oh, I'm actually doing this training to be, and it doesn't have to be a coach, right? You don't need to be a coach to ask, where do you want to go in your career? What do you think are your development areas? It does help. But I think that's the two things. Talk about leadership values, find out what your own are, but also what you would expect to hear, and find out how that leader is training and evolving their skills.
This is very interesting. So I'm thinking finding out what kind of leaders you are, this is a simple enough question to ask, although never crossed my mind before 2 years ago. But now we're talking about it and it's great. So hopefully some people will think about it going forward. But two points that you raised is around finding out what your red line, so you understand what kind of leaders you want to work with and what kind of leaders you really don't want to work with. I guess this requires a bit of reflection. Let's leave it as that in terms of you have to spend some time thinking about previous leaders you've seen and what you liked and how can you get that out of them. But in terms of what the leaders are learning, how do you get them to tell you that in an interview?
What they're learning?
Yeah.
It starts with who's a good example for you? Can you name a leader you look up to? Can you tell me someone you would follow on LinkedIn? What's the last book you read on leadership? What's the last course you took? Oh, it was always the course that the company told me to do. So what are examples? Or how would you describe a really good leader you had yourself in your career? Another thing you can find out is, tell me about someone you have developed in as a leader. Like, what did you do for that person and how did you develop that person? What did you do? How did you tackle it? And where is that person now? Or tell me a case that you are particularly proud of, or maybe where you've done mistakes. You want to find out as well if someone's reflective enough to say, what always done this right and what I learned from it. I think that's good questions as well to kind of figure, because there's definitely people, names that will come up where I would be like, okay, not sure. Is that diverse, for instance? If they call me 10 white middle-aged men, honestly, I'm like, okay, how diverse is your thinking going to be if these are the kind of people you only follow on in determining and getting better at your skills as well? I think, yeah, that would be something for me.
I definitely need to diversify who I look up to.
This time I was really holding back, you know, I wanted to speak and I just wanted both of you to finish. So, you know, one few things I picked up from this about the kind of leader you would want to work with and how I have gone about doing it. I think observation and speaking candidly have helped me a lot. For example, where my leader joined the team after I joined. It's about a leader. It's a female leader back in India, who I was talking about. I saw that within a few weeks of joining the team, she was so open and she was not afraid of being vulnerable in front of her, in front of the people she was going to manage. And this was one thing I learned from her. Before that, I was not very open with my team in terms of sharing my weaknesses or the stupidity I might have done in my career. But from her, what I learned is it's actually, I started respecting her more after she shared her experiences, right? And I was like, wow, if she can be vulnerable in front of the people she's going to manage, why can't I be? And that was a sign of a good leader for me, who was not afraid of being vulnerable in front of her team members. This is one thing. And the second thing is, what are the kind of things that person is liking and posting on social media, such as LinkedIn? Look at their thought process. What are the kind of things they are interested in? There might be some people who are only liking technical stuff looks like they are more into technical, and there will be some people who are liking posts of from forums like Women in Data, which means they are into investing in women leadership and those kind of things. So yeah, I mean, I think observation and candid conversations with their leader, the one you know who you are going to work with, or the one who will come to your life later on, is something which has helped me a lot in understanding my leaders better and build a solid relationship with them.
Yeah.
But it's not like life has always been good. I did have to deal with a leader, unfortunately, a female leader who was not that supportive. But yeah, we will talk about it for sure.
Yeah, so something you were mentioning, you know, you were talking about observation, but also being able to be candid, etc. And I guess it's just this element of vulnerability shows a lot of authenticity, and also yes, it makes the leader more relatable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that means you can easily put yourself in the shoes of your leader, understand where they're coming from, and then learn from that as well. Mm-hmm. But I guess showing vulnerability is not always possible or easy. And I know there are moments where I felt like it was very difficult to give feedback to a leader, for example, because
yep,
I felt like whatever I would say, there would be a bias put on that, and I might come across as, even when it's come to asking questions, you know, I have a problem, I'm trying to solve it, I need help from someone. I've had moments where I've had to reach out outside of the organization because I felt a bit not scared, but scared is the word, that my performance would be questioned. And I would love to hear your views on these kind of situations.
Okay. So like I said, right, I mean, your career is in your hands, but it depends on your leader as well. But there could be different categories of leaders. There's one leader who is very approachable and is invested in your career. That's one. Then one leader who is hard to find, hard to reach, but still they are invested in your career. Still they want to see you successful. But there could be a third category as well. And unfortunately, I ended up with such category. And trust me, it was not an easy journey because it happened to me for the first time. I was clueless what to do about it. So the person had some sort of unconscious bias, I felt, and lacked empathy completely. And the only regret I have, Karen, similar to you, that I did not speak up. And I regret it very much right now. But I have made peace with it. And my fear was very similar to yours, right? I was scared of being rejected. I was like, it's going to fire back on me only. So I didn't want to go ahead with that. But I feel bad, even though after making peace with it, if I had spoken up, it would have made life easier for maybe other people as well, who were also in a similar situation like me. But unfortunately, nobody spoke, including myself. But lesson for me is, if in future something like that happens to me, I know I'm not going to take it up and I will definitely speak up. However, one of my mentors, when I discussed this with her, she told me a very interesting thing about feedback. Feedback is a gift and you can't give it to everyone. So I was like, yeah, that's pretty true. So feedback, you can give it to only that person who you know will take it positively and constructively, right? And so my lesson is, speak up, give feedback to the person who you feel is not treating you the way you would like to be treated, but only if you know for sure that the person will take your feedback positively, think about it, reflect on it, and it doesn't reflect negatively on you. So that would be my message, like, speak up.
Andre, you look like you have something to say.
Yeah, because I feel like there is still 2023, but there's still a lot of difficult leaders out there. Let's face it. Let's also say, like, you will listen to this and a lot of people will be in their job and be like, what? Like, you know, it's, of course I can give feedback. And don't get me wrong, I think I'm a massive supporter of that. Like, get out, get your boundaries right, don't accept any toxicity. But it's not that easy. And I think particularly the seniority levels and women or minority groups is also not very high. So often you are more in a junior position when you are, when you experience that. And I did give a talk at this conference about positive leadership. And I asked people with a show of hands who has experienced toxic leadership. And I don't know how many people were there, 200 maybe, and 80% put their hand up.
Oh,
you know, it's still like, I wasn't surprised. I did this to show kind of, you know, we need to move on from this. We have to move on from this because people are suffering. There were people coming after the talk like, oh my God, you know, I feel so hurt. I feel like there's someone here that understands this, but I think it's still out there. Anyway, how do you change that? I think it's about improving and looking out for kind of those roles where leadership skills play a part as well. Because a lot of times, you know, you have leaders that are only focused on the technical stuff and I'm this amazing whatever I know all about. And AI does that as well right now, right? But again, it's a people thing. It's a leadership thing. And we don't talk enough about training that muscle. I don't get tired of it. I'm going to have t-shirt and mugs and whatever. Because I really feel that that's something. Because when you sit there, it's about you experience that, and it's about being empowered as well to sit there and say, I want to change that. But you have to have enough people that also accept that feedback, right? How often does that happen? You give some feedback and they literally go away. And yes, you have repercussions. Let's also face that. It's not it's not Disneyland. And I feel for people a lot. I've had that in my career. I worked, sorry, people, you know who you are, with some toxic people as well. And it's soul destroying. And that's why I came on the podcast as well, because I really want to get the word out as well for the things you look out for and how can you take care of yourself as well. Set those boundaries. Because in data, I mean, it's been a bit flat in terms of hiring, but I also believe it's picking up again. It's picking up again. Funding circles, hiring. But, you know, it's kind of look out for those people that tell you that are aware of those things when you change jobs.
I love what you're saying, because I find also that communities are very powerful in this situation. So I know, spending so much time with the women in data community, a lot of the women I hang out with, they know me, they know how I work, they know how I grow, how I learn. And then when I look for a job, they will be able to say, I think this leader would be a good match for you. So I remember when I joined my current organization, Roshin from Women in Data, she said, so the manager you would have in this organization is very different from you, but I think you will be great together. Go for it. And, you know, it's these kind of things that I find are very powerful with communities, because I've been working in data for a while, but I haven't been around as long as you, and I haven't always been in the same country as well. And that means that sometimes I don't always know all the leaders that are available around, or I know less. So being able to get knowledge from other people, to have these insights, so people I trust and I know and respect, is quite important to me as well.
Yeah. And Karen, if you find a boss and a team which shares values similar to you, amazing. You are very lucky. But if that doesn't happen, then I think it's more work on your side, which you will have to put in, right? Because then the self-reflection and a higher level of EQ would help you a lot at the end of the day, right? If you get a team with similar values, good. But if not, then more work on you. And that's how the circle of life is going to be, right?
Yeah.
There's something maybe I would add to that. But I was just thinking about, if you are in sort of more junior positions and you really think, how do I get out of here? There's often reverse mentoring. And now a lot of headhunting companies actually offer that, because they want to build up their female database. I don't know what the right word is right now, but you know, about contacts in data, you know. Anyway, and so that's one thing, because I must say, whenever I mentor someone, I feel I learn as much as that person does. And because they have a different view, especially when it's someone that has a complete different background and makes you aware of your unconscious bias, because we all have them.
Yeah.
We have them. And reverse mentoring, if there's programs like that, watch out for those, because they will help you build your network, but they will also help you learn from that leader, and that leader learns from you. So you kind of, you know, because it's not just about 20 years of experience and I know it all, never know it all.
Anshay, it's a really good point. I mean, I hope most of the leaders look for such opportunities where they can find reverse mentoring. Even with that leader I did not have a really good experience. I thought, I wish I could go and mentor her. But then I was like, no, I don't think so. I mean, how? I don't know. But it's such an amazing thing, right? I mean, even I look up to my team members or people who are junior to me and ask for feedback and things I would like to learn from them. This is such a powerful thing, right? No matter what's your experience level, should always be looking for reverse mentoring where you can. I hope people get more into it. It's going to be very, very helpful for all the leaders.
It's a good indicator as well for understanding. Like, you can ask in interviews, do you do reverse mentoring here? Do you offer something like that?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I feel like we really slipped into the topic of mentoring and coaching and all these things. So I would love to talk about the importance of career coaches. So I think the first time I came across a coach, I was 10 years old. And that was my athletics coach. Very different from a career coach, but it is still a coach and someone who guides you in your life. And it never occurred to me until I think it was 5 years ago. And I guess it became more popular and then more visible as well nowadays, where I had to experience grief while being quite unhappy in my role. So it was more than 5 years ago. It was back in the days where I was thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't work in data and all these things, and then life crisis. And then that's when I thought, maybe I need to talk to someone. And it was my partner, actually, whom had come across someone who was not working in data, but was a career coach and a life coach. And that's how we connected. And that's how I came across coaching. And this had made such a massive difference in my career and in my life as well, because at that time I had everything going wrong at the same time. And I feel like one thing never comes alone. It's just weird. But Ansha, I would love to hear about what put you in this path to become a career coach, what you've learned from it, and why do you recommend it to people, actually?
So I was privileged and lucky to have a career coach early on in my career. And I would say to everyone, again, if there's one thing I would have done much, much earlier, it find yourself a good coach. Or mentor and coaching for me is a different thing. But anyway, find someone that you can go through those difficult conversations with. It just helps to get out of your own head. For me, I learned, so I used to be an analyst. I'm a trained analyst. I used to code. I loved finding out the news, you know, the information and communicating that. But I realized at some point that I'm actually enjoying more to bring people together, have those, you know, I kind of thought about what's my purpose really. And I realized my passion is in developing people in a professional environment in data. And I think when I say that, I'm like, I love to be part of career-changing moments, you know, in the lives of people. And once you have that feedback, it's just, it's like a drug. You gotta have more of it. And I realized that it's more than just having the conversations. I needed tools. I wanted methods. I wanted different, you know, I wanted to take my coach, like, because coaching is, of course, questions and getting people to, not giving them the answer, but helping them to get to the answer in terms of where you want to go, towards your weakness and strengths, and you know, how what help do you need. But I felt I needed methodologies, and I knew they're out there, right? So I decided to not because I wanted to be a coach as my job, but I actually feel, you know, every leader should do that. Every should have a certain amount of methodology in their back, right? To kind of say, hey, because yeah, how do you have those conversations? You can't just ask two questions and oh no, coach. So yeah, I wanted to have the methodologies. I wanted to understand what that is. And that's why I did the training. And it helps you as well to attract talent, you know, when people realize, oh, that woman actually has some other methods as well. So there's an exercise like career anchors. Just today, I was talking to someone and she was so enthusiastic. She was like, wow, that sounds so great. Like, love to talk to you about that. And that's the kind of passion then you get from people as well, right? Because it also shows you care. And I think that's the biggest factor as well. And yeah, so that's kind of how I got into it. And I love helping people. I love to kind of, I know what impact it had on me, because I was in situations where, I'm not going to say life saver, that's maybe a bit dramatic, but maybe that's what it is sometimes, because moving up the ladder as well in data or in leadership is, you know, it can get lonely, really lonely sometimes, particularly when you're a woman or a group of minorities and within that. And yeah, I felt there's someone there that has my back, that kind of, that's not working with me, that is outside of this, and I can go to and say, okay, just, am I completely out of line here? Am I like seeing this right? Because also, you know, there's all kinds of insecurities that come with that. There's great people out there. Just sort of be careful that people don't do it out of a vanity. You know, are they really interested? Do they know how to build a career plan? Like, I would ask someone that, do you know, what are the kind of methodologies you use? I'm very, very lucky I still have that person. I have a life coach as well, which is a bit of a different sort of for me, but I swear on it. Because we are also sold. We live in a world that's moving so fast. There's so much going on. And yeah, I think it just helps if you have someone on, at your side that coaches and gets you through that as well.
Yeah, that's very amazing. That's exactly how I feel as well. But I just want to play the devil's advocate 2 seconds. Let's face it, coaching is expensive. So you mentioned coaching and mentoring being 2 different things. So do you think that if someone can't afford a coach, so obviously you will have people on different price ranges, right? So I've seen coaching sessions going from £50 an hour to like £1,000 an hour, which made me think like, well, but would you say that if someone can't afford coaching, they could use some mentorship to make up for that?
Totally. Yeah, of course. I don't know. I mean, definitely. And I don't mean coaching as in, and you know, because there's lots of programs now that are coming up that actually don't cost money. It's a bit about the network, of course, that you need. But yeah, I see a lot of mentoring programs or coaching programs that are pro bono, you say. Yeah. I know that's in your head. I think that was it's changing now because it's also clear that companies have to offer it to attract talent as well and to retain talent. So I would look out for that as well when you find a new job, whether they offer that kind of things. But of course, mentoring, like find someone that inspires you. That's the best way to go for, right? Nia, how would you?
So I'm not an official coach, but definitely a career I might choose to have maybe 10 or 15 years from now, because I wouldn't call it coaching. It was more of a mentoring. And I have personally benefited a lot from mentoring throughout my career. Mm-hmm. Wherever I have worked, I have always found people who I look up to and ask them to mentor me. And it has always helped me making right career decisions and, in fact, some personal decisions as well. And I have also mentored people who have benefited from my advice. One particular example I remember right away is when I was with NatWest leading their decisioning team. I hired a person and I saw him very lost on third or fourth day of his joining. So and I asked him to go for a coffee with me, and I asked him, what happened? You're looking a little lost. And initially he was not opening up, but then after 15 minutes he opened up and he said, Neha, I'm actually a bit confused. He was from top IIT college in India, and he was like, Neha, I have this job right now which I started. I have an offer from Google, and he had a third opportunity, which was he had a funding for his startup, which he was trying to, you know, start for some time. And he was unable to decide which option to go for. Obviously, he just joined the organization. So I told him very clearly, what are your preferences? He told me his preferences, but still confused. I said, I would say go for your Google job, because that's going to give you experience and exposure and learn and maybe use that experience to apply in your startup after a few years. He did exactly that. And I am very happy to say that I know he for sure that he's still with Google, doing really great. And maybe you're looking to start his startup with some modifications using the experiences he might have got in Google. So that's why I feel maybe coaching could be one career I might take up 10 to 15 years from now, because I have many examples where I have benefited from it in my career, and I have done that for people who I worked with, and I can see them doing great in their career. So, but yeah, career coaches are or mentors are really important, and they should always be one important aspect of your job. You cannot be successful in your career if you are not being mentored or you are not mentoring. You can't be successful.
Yeah, and you've been talking about that for a while now.
Yeah. So I am very passionate about it, because, you know, I did a post also some time ago on LinkedIn where I mentioned that you will not remember the projects or the deliverables you have done for the people you work with, but you will always remember the way you were treated. Yeah. Right. So make sure you treat people well and invest in them and learn from them and let them learn from you.
That sounds like the perfect ending to the episode. So to close the episode, Neha, can I ask you what resources you use that help you in your career and personal development?
So Karen, I used to rely more on resources available online, such as Harvard Business Review articles or some other articles I will find on leadership. But these days I'm relying more on books, and I've read few books this year already. So Atomic Habits, Power of One Thought, The First 90 Days by Michael Watkins. It's the must for someone who is starting their new job too. And then Give and Take by Adam Grant. That's an amazing book as well. And recently I've started reading Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. I want to know more. I mean, I know what is emotional intelligence, but I want to know the exact science behind it now. So I'm reading that book. So these are the resources I'm using these days.
Amazing. And I think there are a couple of Atomic Habits that I read and vouch for as well. I really loved it. And Antje, what are you learning at the moment or are interested in learning?
I am actually going on a new journey to kind of learn more about positive psychology and how it can help and change processes. Because, yeah, we live in a, like I said earlier, we live in such a fast evolving world. And I think leadership next to developing people, it will be about, you know, taking people on a journey of change. Because change is hard. It can be hard to change habits. It can be quite daunting. So, yeah, I would like to add to my leadership skills to be able to influence and help change transformations, data transformations, business transformations with positive psychology. There's a course I'm doing. I'm really excited about. And that's yeah. And I'm reading up a lot about those things as well. I will say Brené Brown, Dare to Lead, is also a great book.
Yeah, that's a good book, I heard.
It's been on my backlog for so long. I need to get to it. Thank you so much, both, for joining me on the podcast today. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you
so much, Karen.
Yeah, thank you, Karen.
Thank you for listening to the Women in Data podcast. We will be back in a couple of weeks with a new guest. Until then, if you have 2 minutes, it would be great if you could leave us a rating or a review, as it helps not only to make the podcast more visible, but also to enhance the content. If you don't want to miss the next episode, follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We are also on LinkedIn. And if you wish to, you can even register to the community for free. All you have to do is head to womenindata.co.uk. Have a great day.